Science Eye on the World. I'm John Bessu with my colleague Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, an Australian national, member of the Commonwealth. And King Charles Report is our aim here. Gregory was in France during the King's visit with the Queen, France, and he can report on that. But there's more to King Charles' outreach as a vision of Britain that is and will be. I note from the Daily Express, just because it's fun, they're publishing how the king is saving the environment by eating all of his cake, not letting it go stale and throwing it away, eating it right down to the nub, and also allowing the pool temperature to drop in the palace. So he takes his swims with very cold water. Gregory, that's the Daily Express's opinion from the man in the street. What is your observation about the king in France?
Well, the king at home is really frugal in many respects, and is very much concerned about food wastage and rebuilding natural agriculture. But his trip to France, his state visit to France, exceeded even his first state visit abroad, which was to Germany, where he addressed the Bundestag in German and got a tumultuous response. His visit to France would make you think that there had been no problems ever between France and Britain. Even old Boney would have been turning in his grave to see the warmth of the reception for King Charles. Interestingly enough, when I was in Paris with some friends, they said they were complaining about the decline of standards in the business and political communities. And they said people were coming into the National Assembly, assemblymen, wearing, you know, sort of sneakers and tracksuits, more or less, and a very bolshy lot. But when King Charles came to give his address to the joint houses of the Assembly, the Senate and the Assembly, all of the members turned up, the males with suits and ties. They also, when Charles made his address in French, were on their feet the whole time, cheering and calling "Vive le roi," long live the king. And this phrase has not been heard for a couple of hundred years in France. So this was really significant. And the entente cordiale was very much in effect. The French named one of their international airports the Queen Elizabeth II International Airport, which was really a great tribute to Queen Elizabeth, the late Queen Elizabeth. So King Charles really turned a major diplomatic corner between Britain and France, and this is going to pay off for the governments of both countries in the near future. And it also now leaves time for King Charles to start looking toward the Commonwealth, and particularly the three principal dominions, Australia, New Zealand, and Canada. And he was not able to even talk about Australia or go there until basically now, because Australia was going through this political process of a national referendum called The Voice, which is proposed to create a separate new parliament for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders, to have their own parliament, which would have no legislative capability, but would be a huge new expense. But it was basically seen by most Australians as an apartheid sort of situation, where you throw a bone to the Indigenous communities and expect them to be happy that they've been recognised in the Constitution, but have been given actually no beneficial assistance. So that referendum, much to the Prime Minister's chagrin, was thrown out at an overwhelming level. I mean, this is sort of, I think it was something like 60.78% of voters rejected the terms of the referendum. That's the sort of level that you would expect a Prime Minister to resign on and fall on his sword because he failed in this, one of the pillars of his government coming into office. But Prime Minister Albanese in Australia had also promised a second constitutional referendum, which would have been to create a republic in Australia to replace the constitutional monarchy. And we now know that the absolute failure of the Voice referendum means that he won't attempt to try the Republic referendum. So now may be the time that King Charles can go to Australia to talk. And it could be in conjunction with events in neighbouring New Zealand, because we've got a new government coming into office in New Zealand, the ultra-left Labour government. And this is not just a Labour government, it's an ultra-left Labour government, which had been begun by Jacinda Ardern, who resigned earlier this year so that her successor could face the election defeat. They've been replaced by a conservative coalition led by the National Party, and that will probably be installed under Christopher Luxon in early November. So that will be very much supportive of the Crown. And by the way, whilst the old New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, an avowed Republican, left office, she made sure that she was given the second highest order in the King's Birthday Honours announced on June the 5th. So she's now Dame Grand Companion of the New Zealand Order of Merit. So she's now Dame Jacinda. And then she's gone off to make money out of international bodies out of New York. So her hypocrisy is now gone full circle.
Gregory, I want to check. We have less than a minute. Is this new government under Mr. Luxon, is it liable to be more amenable to being part of Five Eyes than was the Ardern government? We have 30 seconds.
Yes. Now, Jacinda Ardern was keen to be part of Five Eyes, but she was not trusted. Now, Mr. Luxon is going to definitely be rebuilding the faith in New Zealand and in supporting Five Eyes, and possibly coming in as a minor member of AUKUS as well, because they do have a lot of influence in the South Pacific. They have a very capable but small defence force. And they need to start using a combined Australian and New Zealand capability to start to rebuild confidence among the Pacific Island states, particularly Fiji, which is the big anchor of the Melanesian and grouping up there.
Gregory Copley, I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,